Daily Mail's got it. Safety fears at Florida nuclear plant as bombshell report says staff too scared to speak out about the dangers. And it's the same all over the country, and it's the same in Europe. France is the biggest per capita user of nuclear power. They have constant leaks, constant disasters, constant cover-ups. You have mainline groups, people with Geiger counters, scientist groups. It just, you know, and they know from the isotopes it's coming out of the damn reactors. And they're just kind of, a little radiation, not a problem. And they're not just spewing general radiation, they're spewing particles. And if you get a particle out of one of these in your lungs, within a few months to a year, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. But I want in this short segment to just hit a very important story. I am anti-nuclear power. And I'm a populist, I'm a conservative, I was brought up conservative, and, you know, brought up 1970s, 80s, America can do no wrong, technology's the way to go, nuclear power is the way to go, liberals don't like it. Well, those are the old-fashioned liberals that were right on not wanting fluoride in the water, and it was the liberals that knew the shots were killing people back then. They were wrong on social policy and things, but they were right about nuclear power. Yeah, it's an interesting technology, but the way corporations behave and run things, it's not just here. Look at the Japanese. Very able people. They make, you know, the best cars, hands down. They like to have quality. They like to, you know, do a good job. You've seen what's happened with their reactors and the bad decision to build them on some of the worst fault lines and things. A lot of them are built on fault lines here and tsunami zones. And you see the Russians and their reactors blowing up. And then there were a lot of reactors blew up in the U.S. starting in the 50s that didn't even become public until the 80s. Oh, yeah, it was a big reactor blew up in the 50s in about L.A. Radiated everybody. They just covered it up. And cancer exploded in the rest of it. So we need coal. We need gas. We need oil. It's basically unlimited. It's good. It makes plants grow. Global warming's a lie. It's all a fraud. Carbon dioxide in our history has been way higher than it is now. Sea levels haven't risen. And there's 450-something industrial power output reactors in the world. There's thousands of military ones and even more secret ones, I can tell you. They put them in space powering stuff. Real smart. And you can have one of those fall into out of orbit and come through and detonate. And it's just a disaster. And if there is ever collapse of civilization or something, those reactors will basically all melt down. If there's a nuclear war, they'll all melt down. And they're super radioactive compared to a hydrogen bomb detonating, if people don't know. Okay? Those are clean compared to these. So it's playing with the devil's fire. It's out of control. And there's a bunch of articles out of Florida. A Daily Mail's got it. Safety fears at Florida nuclear plant, as bombshell report says, staff too scared to speak out about the dangers. And it's the same all over the country, and it's the same in Europe. France is the biggest per capita user of nuclear power. They have constant leaks, constant disasters, constant cover-ups. You have mainline groups, people with Geiger counters, scientist groups. It just, you know, and they know from the isotopes it's coming out of the damn reactors, and they're just kind of, a little radiation, not a problem. And they're not just spewing general radiation, they're spewing particles. And if you get a particle out of one of these in your lungs, within a few months to a year, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. So this stuff is dirty. It is a bad technology. It's 1940s technology. We got stuff way better and cleaner. But instead, to power all of the data centers for AI, they said they're going to build hundreds of new little neighborhood safe ones. Oh, they're so safe. Safe and effective like the COVID shots, right? Safe and effective like fluoride. So now at the St. Lucie nuclear plant, they're reporting hundreds of bad events that they report, and then they get in trouble or threatened. And by the way, the nuclear industry, I'm not going to say they're doing this here, but you know, there's famous movies on true stories where they kill your ass when you talk.
All right, so, folks, no. That is the latest from Alex Jones. Finally, share that on his X at Real Alex Jones. We are in studio with Rex Jones on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesStore.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either T-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting the shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought at the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support, because we cannot do this without you.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of The American Journal is on. I'm joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. Rex, how are you doing today?
Always good to be back with Unc Harrison. It's always good to be on The American Journal. It's always good to be live with you. I mean, I'm a fan of the show, like I always say. So let's just get into it, man.
Well, it's an exciting time, man, especially politically with the all the divisions happening. I know you're a big fan of Nick Fuentes, as am I. Did you watch his Tucker Carlson
Oh, yeah.
Well, report?
We did
My goodness.
We did a reaction to it, man. We did a little.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. But that was the debate between him and Alex. But the
Tucker video?
The Tucker video.
Oh, yeah. No, I've watched that thing probably twice. It's like 3 hours long. I mean, when you're talking about like an orator, when you're talking about someone that has the ability to speak and to communicate a message, I don't think there's anybody better. And like, that's why I personally am such a huge fan. There are things that I disagree with Fuentes on 100%. But I mean, just looking at the scale of ability, like there really is no comparison.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, it's the narrative, right? It's laying out the narrative of what's really going on behind the scenes. And
it's just kind of odd, you know, like I like Tucker and everything, but why you got a photo in Nicaragua and you're like in your early 20s and you got the strap?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, because, you know, clearly, because I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson as well. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's weird that he said he didn't know his dad was the CIA when he did know that. Like, why would he lie about that? That's a little bit suspicious to me. At the same time, like, I'm watching Nick's thing and, you know, occasionally he gets into, he's like, you know, they were down there, you know, stopping the communists from taking over South America. And it's like, all right, well, I'm kind of in favor of that. I can kind of see where, like, if you're the Tucker Carlson type and you're like, well, this is, you know, American hegemony and there are these communists trying to take over these countries and we helped them to avoid being taken over.
I think that this gets into a much wider and larger and bigger point. And this is a point I was discussing with the crew while you were on air, right? It's just like, we got all these factions involved and the kind of narrative is it's left versus right, man. And like, we got to stop the liberals or we got to stop the evil Trumpers, whatever it is. No, there's like 20 different groups of people. Everybody has their own interests that they serve. Everyone has their own power structure that they serve. And I like the point that Alex makes on the show now, which is it really seems that like the left was beaten into submission. And then the pro-Israel lobby is making a run at taking over our country fully.
Yeah.
So that's what I personally subscribe to. And whatever the deal with Fuentes is, I believe he's for real because I haven't seen any evidence that he isn't. And I don't think you can fake that kind of live performance. It's hard to talk to cameras. It's really difficult. So like all in all, I think there's an element of, you know, the older unks or like, I guess Candace would be an aunt, but like worried about
the auntie.
Young nephew coming in and stealing their thunder. But I do think it's a little more than that. I think that they recognize that there are positions that they hold. Like Tucker will always say, I love Israel. I love Israel. I don't love Israel. Me saying that right here. I don't love Israel. Like that's a very easy value judgment to make based on the apartheid and the killing of the children and the genocide and the starvation, and all that stuff. So if you're still having to qualify the statements that you're making as in like, oh, I love Israel. Israel's fine, but oh, Netanyahu, oh, it's bad. You got to go. You know, like doesn't like 80% of the population support what's going on in Gaza? Something
yeah, like that's what I've heard. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe we can pull that graphic up on screen. It's a very public and popular poll.
Yeah.
Well, and search.
There was a video that was going viral last week. I'm not sure if we ever played it. I do think I had it at one point, but it's a it's Israeli podcasters, and they're, you know, very open about it. They're like, you know, when we're out, you know, dancing and clubbing in Israel, mm-hmm. we enjoy
yeah,
it
we
more.
Yeah, we get off on it. Yeah,
because we know that there are people starving in Gaza. And it's like, that's sick. And I mean, you know.
Dude, and I feel like that's never been the American attitude. Like, even like when we go to war and we kill people, we don't have the attitude of, oh, we're going to the music festival and the Vietnamese can't go to the music festival. So screw
right.
them. Like, no, I think Americans have always understood at a certain level, and we're protected by two big oceans and we have all this beautiful geography and whatnot. But if you mess with someone, they come for your neck. This is what happens. And the only reason why the Israelis mess with the Palestinians on the degree that they do is because they believe they have some sort of like mandate of heaven, like Mao, as in like, oh, we can do whatever we want. And you people are cavemen, so you'll never have the weapons or missiles to stop us.
Right.
And when you have a big country like Iran or even a little country like Yemen that threatens American and therefore Israeli hegemony in the region, right? Like when the Yemenis are launching missiles at our ships and we got to take evasive action and the F-16 goes overboard, like, I don't think they expected that. And that's right. why that 12-day war was a 12-day war. Let's right. look at that. 32% in U.S. back Israel's military action in Gaza, a new low. It should not be that high.
Right.
It should not be that high. It should be like 15%. And we go, okay, these are the crazy people.
right. The 15% yeah. fringe.
But if you look at that, it's like 30%. That's kind of like the MAGA base, to be honest with you. That's kind of like that. It's that number, you know, like Trump's approval rating with independents has gone with the liberals. It's always horrible. But with the Republicans, it's been stable. It's been like 80-90%. So,
well, and, you know, I even relate it to, there's a post I saw today that was somebody posting something about Abraham Lincoln and mm-hmm. all this. And, you know, some foreigner, you know, migrant to America responds going, you know, the real problem was Abraham Lincoln didn't arrest every single Confederate, you know, leader and hang them on the steps of the White House. And it's like, that's because that's not what we do.
Well, that person's ignorant of American history because right. as we know, the Reconstruction period was a period
brutal.
Where, yes, but it's a period where like there could have been more conflict, there could have been more fighting, but people like Ulysses S. Grant came in and shut all that stuff down.
Oh, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee's his whole thing was like, we could keep fighting some guerrilla war and 100,000 more people could die, or you all surrender and we can shake hands. I mean, literally, you have people today who have more animus and hate for Confederates than the Union soldiers. I mean, the Union soldiers, this picture, they're shaking hands with the Confederates. They would have picnics together and go, yeah, we were enemies, but now we buried the hatchet and we moved together as brothers. And like that idea is so foreign to people outside of the West, outside of like, you know, our mindset. It is dog eat dog, crush your enemy into the dirt, you know, kill their children.
That's what
it's brutal. And it's not how we do things.
Israel says rise and kill them first.
Yeah.
That is their motto for war, for fighting, is to rise and kill them first. And the point that I've heard Fuentes make, which I 100% agree with, is that applies to us. That applies to us. And if there really ever is an anti-Israel sentiment that truly like gestates itself in America and results in some sort of candidate being elected or some people with actual positions of power, like cutting off the aid and whatnot, I believe they would attack us, you know, and some would say that's already happened.
I mean, you hear, you know, prominent people in America say that, you know, Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA. And it's like, I made that point many times, like, okay, they keep calling Palestinians Nazis. Who else do they call Nazis? I mean, it's not that far-fetched.
It's so messed up because the Palestinians, like if you look at the genealogy and the DNA studies that have been done, those are the people that are the closest related to Jesus. Like,
right.
They live right there. They live in his home. And Israel, like Jesus said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves, referring to the temple. We've turned Jesus's home into a graveyard.
That's brutal.
I mean, look at this. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's unconscionable. And that's why I have no issue speaking out about it, is because it's literally cartoon bad.
Right.
And if anyone wants ever to go, oh, vicious anti-Semite, oh, it's like, you've killed tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of women and children. Like, good grief, get it together, use your brain. You are the Nazi. You are the Nazi.
I have to laugh because it is so ridiculous to have to be defending. Like,
yeah, it's
dying.
Wild.
It's crazy.
And like they call themselves like, we are the light of the world. We are
right.
Israel. It's like, no, you're like the dark pit. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
Here? It's brutal. And yeah, it's tragic. And you go, I was reading the New Testament and it's like, and Jesus then went into Gaza and it's like, oh man, literally Jesus walked
and
around
Netanyahu
in these places.
Went into Gaza,
yeah.
You know, after that, you know, a couple thousand years. And
yeah. And a little different in that situation. And there's so much to say. It's funny, actually. I actually texted Nick because I was watching a clip of his where he's talking about the Rise and Kill First thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the name of a very good book, by the way. Everybody should go read this book. It's by a guy named Ronan, I believe. And he's an Israeli journalist. And he interviewed a bunch of Israelis for this book called Rise and Kill First. And it's the history of the targeted killing methods that Israel uses to end its enemies. And it goes way back to, you know, the end of the Second World War, where you had these Jewish organizations that would basically kidnap prisoners of war to execute them, you know, in complete contravention of
the Nazi hunting.
Yeah, the Nazi hunting type stuff. But I mean, they would do it in, you know, English uniforms and, you know, pretend, oh, yes, this is the king says we need these prisoners over here. And then they would just slaughter all of them. I mean, just brutal
it's
stuff.
Like putting
and
it goes on like a police officer outfit from the costume store.
Yeah, well, pretty much. And then the English would discover this. And instead of like making it public, they would send them all. But here's a funny story. Well, I don't know if it's a funny story, but this is why I take this type of stuff seriously, is because I had a friend in Houston, went to the nicest Jewish private school in Houston, and he would talk about how they would play videos of Mossad assassinations and tell the classroom, this is what we do to our enemies. This is why they don't mess with us. This is how powerful we are. Look at this. And they would like show videos of, you know, Mossad with people from Belgium and France and all over the place. They all gathered together in Dubai or, you know, wherever to assassinate a Palestinian leader. And, you know, to us, we would see news reports about this and it's like, oh my gosh, this assassination plot and oh my God, how horrible. They, you know, poisoned this guy in his hotel room and it's just crazy. But, you know, in Houston, in this private school, the teachers are showing the kids videos going, this is what we do to our enemies. This is, you know, if and anybody stands against us, this is how we treat them.
I feel in a same sort of sick way that kind of culture has infected America, because that's like, I'm friends with a lot of people, you know, and I'm friends with some guys that are like currently like in the military and whatnot. And like I've heard it like, yeah, it's important that everyone knows we're tough.
Right.
We're a big guy. We're a big boy. And it's just like, yeah, sure. It's important. We have a strong military. It's important that we can defend ourselves and our legitimate allies. But this whole attitude of like overwhelming force, we will crush you. We are not the biggest country. We are not the country with the most resources. We're the country with the most bad relationships. Why are we doing this? It's because they do it and then we imitate them because we are their vassal.
Mm.
That is the behavior. And it's learned helplessness. It's Munchausen by proxy. It's us like, oh, we are evil empire. We are this monster. Yes, well, Israel, push us around in the wheelchair.
Well, that's the kind of thing. It seems to me like you've got these guys like Lindsey Graham, these others where they.
Lady G,
you ask them for like, you know, well, what about America? And it's like, well, you know, we got to be understanding.
We lack America, but Israel's our friend.
Yeah, and we, you know, but inside of them, they have this, like, desire to be like, we will crush them into the dirt. But they'll never do that for America. But then it's like, with Israel, for some reason, they feel that they're allowed to do that. It's like, they feel like, okay, when it comes to Israel, I can be brutal. I can talk tough. I can say we're going to stomp them into the dirt. We're going to nuke them. We're going to glass the whole area. And it's like, for some reason, they're given this outlet to speak like that on Israel, but they would never speak that to America. So yeah, the whole like tough guy thing. It's like, okay, you're the tough guy, and your daughter is an OnlyFans model, and you know your son just cut his dick off. So how tough are you really, or are you doing this all in service of foreigners who hate you? Like how tough do you really feel? You know, when you're going around banging your chest, and your whole country is being stolen out from underneath you, and all of the benefits are going to Israel.
Well,
how tough are you really?
Let me tell you, you want to be tough. Next time we're in studio, me and you, we're going to grow our sideburns out. We're going to put kippahs on, and it's going to get real wild in here.
Should we become Jewish? Maybe that's the tactic, is we can take this by going, hey, as a Jew, I want to tell my fellow Jews what's going on here.
Well, this is the thing, and this is a key point, and I've tweeted this out on Twitter or X or whatever, so it's no secret. Like, my mother is Jewish. I'm a Christian. That's what I identify as, but I am ethnically Jewish because it descends matrilineally.
Oh, my gosh.
So I can say whatever I want.
He's admitting it.
I can say whatever I want. I just name myself, and I name you as a terrorist state. So that's how it works.
Go.
Shalom. Right?
Dang it. You're lucky. I want to be able to do that.
Right.
No, but okay. So we have time. Okay. Cause I want to read this. This is a long statement from Sam Parker, but I really feel like this is a great jumping off point for the conversation. Sam Parker at Based Sam Parker says this about Tucker and Candace and Nick Fuentes. Again, this isn't about drama. This isn't gossip. This is the future of American politics.
It's the biggest story right now.
It absolutely is, and nobody else is covering in the way that that we can. So the recent feud between Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Nick Fuentes isn't looking so much like an interpersonal feud due to some kind of disagreeableness on Nick's part, as Candace and Tucker have tried to portray. I think it's looking more like a strategic narrative and population control operation for preserving support for Israel within the emerging populist right. Let me explain how this might be working. Granted, this is speculative, but I think it tracks. Tucker operates as a, quote, sanctioned dissent, offering critiques of Israel that resonate with populist audiences, but never actually threaten Israel's legitimacy. He even says, Israel's a great country, we should still support Israel. He says we should have certain conversations in a responsible way that don't descend into evil anti-Semitism. Candace, meanwhile, functions as a controlled frontier negotiator, demonstrating how far right voices can go in criticizing Israel before triggering institutional backlash. She firmly told Tucker in the podcast that she doesn't support Israel under any circumstances, while she delves into various anti-Semitic conspiracy theories while insisting she's not actually anti-Semitic. She has a Jewish producer, after all. Together, they form their own dialectic for and against Israel. While protecting broad Jewish power, they remain friends and strategic partners overall, despite their opposite views on Israel. Their coordinated distancing from Nick, who openly embraces anti-Semitism, exposes broad Jewish power, and criticizes the official Holocaust narrative, isn't about truth. It's about managing the boundary of acceptable dissent. Owens pushes too far and becomes the cautionary tale for dissident takes. Tucker says stays based but respectable. Nick gets scapegoated by both, establishing the gatekeeper line not to be crossed by anyone on either side of the Israel question.
Can I jump in?
And he goes on, but yeah, what's your take on this so far?
I think it's key. During Nick's monologue, he spoke of overdosing on red pills.
Right.
And like, oh, they have the red pills in the medicine cabinet. Mom and dad, call poison control. Little Jimmy ate all the red pills.
Right.
That is what it comes down to. Like, yeah, it's cool to be based. It's cool to know about the border and gun control and the left and the libs, but it's not cool to talk about the wars that we start everywhere on behalf of another country. It's not cool to talk about the wars we won't end on behalf of another country. It's all interconnected, but the bigger topics are what they don't want you to talk about. It's like they bring you to a buffet and you got steak and you got pasta and you got all kinds of delicious things, and they got like a thing of wafers. Like, yeah, you could eat the wafer, you know, eat enough of them, your stomach will be full, you won't be hungry anymore, but you're like, yeah, it doesn't have any protein, it doesn't taste good, it's not real, but it's still food. It's still based, bro. It's still based. It's still a yummy snack. No, we don't want the yummy snack. We want the whole enchilada. We want the truth. This is what we demand as American citizens.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, but I do think there's a threat of overdosing on red pills, in that you gotta be able to maintain your sanity. You gotta be able to see through. And the thing is, it's not about avoiding certain topics or like not getting into certain topics. It's about being able to take on those topics and remain grounded, and remain focused.
Certain things aren't red pills. Certain things are retarded. Okay.
And what I mean by overdosing on red pills is like you go from thinking everything is just totally normal and good, and suddenly like there's a crack in the armor and you go, well, wait, this isn't quite right. And suddenly you're questioning everything, and a lot of people just go off the deep end and just go, everything's a lie, everything's fake, I'm going to go live in the woods or whatever. So like that, I think, is overdosing on red pills. Like, I feel so lucky that I was red pilled by your dad and others in like 2003. So I've had a long, slow, you know, 20-year glide to where I'm at. A lot of people are going from no red pills to 100,000 red pills in an afternoon, and they can crack. So like, I'm not saying that we're here to like, well, pump the brakes. Don't look into some of those things. You should look into all of those things. You should just do it in a responsible manner so you don't alienate yourself from your friends and family.
You should do it by looking at true journalistic coverage and not punditry. Okay.
True.
So like the big problem is, you know, political identities become people's entire identity. And in fact, you are a human, you are a spiritual being, you contribute to the economy. Like, we have lives, is my point. We're people, we live in a society. And politics are downstream of culture. And it all starts with, you know, how we act and how we behave. And I just think it comes down to people being worse. People are worse nowadays. So even when people get good information, they go crazy with it.
Yeah.
Because we're all poisoned by osmosis because of what we've consumed for decades. Like, the predictive programming and everything's all there. Like, we're all Looney Tunes. We're all crazy. We're supposed to be like on a farm or something with horses. Like, we're on the cell phone. I'm sitting in the studio with Harrison. I got the mic. I'm looking at myself on TV. Like,
oh, it's crazy. There's a great meme quote about about that, where they're like, you know, I'm supposed to be doing all of this with a brain designed to find berries. You know,
exactly.
It's like we are living in a cave.
We have
extended beyond our natural capabilities, but not really. I mean, but we can handle this, and you can handle
this.
Everybody can handle the truth.
That's right.
The thing is that people go so off the rocker that it's almost like every time you want to go in to listen to a new person, you just need to wipe the slate clean of your own mind and go, I'm just going to take this for what it is. I'm going to take the context that's in it, but I'm not going to let this guy dictate my view. And even if I strongly feel, you know, in line with what he's saying, at the end of it, I'm going to take a step back, try to put it in context, try to fit it with everything else I believe, and not just sort of, you know, I feel like people, they see the white rabbit, they start chasing the white rabbit, and everything else gets blocked out, and they get tunnel vision, just the white rabbit, and they chase it.
Exactly.
I think that would be overdosing on red pills.
For me, I would define the overdosing on red pills as, like, I just bought an iPad so I can put Twitter on it and not have it on my phone. Because every time I open Twitter or X, I see dead kids. I see dead children. And I see their faces when I'm not online.
Right.
And I think about it. And, like, don't you too? Don't you think about it? And, like, you think about these freaking monsters in Israel and in our own government and our Congress and our Senate, unfortunately, in the White House, that just say, oh, well, you know, just let's stop seeing those pictures.
Right.
You know, let's just stop seeing them, you know, and give them some food so we can stop seeing the photos. That's what Trump said about the, like, getting the aid in, like, a month ago.
Just so we can stop seeing this.
It's not good for us. It's not good for our domestic politics. It would be the most uniting, freeing, greatest thing that ever happened to this country if we rose up and said no to this. And we could do it. And he could do it with a phone call. But he will not do it because of whatever reason. So
right. And that's where the speculation comes in. And
I guess ODing on red pills is just like, once you realize that so much is bad, you have a hard time finding the good in anything.
Right. Exactly. Right? And that's my point is, like, I think it's something special about Alex and Owen and you and all of us is that, like, we have families. We go out. We have a good time. We're a part of society. We run errands.
We have friends. Yeah.
Because the overdosing on red pills is when you're just online all the time and you have this totally warped view of what reality is like. You got to go out and interact with people. You'll see, A, that it's not so bad. B, that, you know, we're winning a lot. And you also have to understand that your awareness of something is not because that thing is just now coming about. And that's something that I think people need to understand is they hear, like, how bad things are now.
It's kind of guilt. Well, it's kind of guilt in a weird way.
What do you mean?
Oh, this has been happening. I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Well, then they get and then you get mad, right? Because you're like, because then once you see it, it's so obvious. You get mad at other people for not seeing it, even though you didn't see it a little while ago. And you know, again, I think part of it is people they hear what's happening and they get urgent. They go, oh my God, the house is on fire. We got to put the fire out. And it's like, guys, the house has been on fire for 150 years. Don't freak out. Now, I'm glad you recognize the house on fire and let's work towards putting the fire out. But just because you're learning about this for the first time doesn't mean it's just happening for the first time. It's actually been happening for a while and we're making major strides, you know, to correct this phenomenon.
It's like the house keeps burning down and they build like a newer, slightly crappier house right next to it. And they go, live in there. And then it burns down and they build a worse one. Yeah. And just keep moving
it
down.
And it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing that you said there about just the failure of us to even contend with, like, the information that we're seeing.
Right.
I want to get into testosterone with you because it's gone viral. But the idea that testosterone makes you more likely to go with your gut, more likely to basically not be swayed by public opinion, not be swayed by peer pressure. I think that is a major, major important event going on right now where you see testosterone levels collapsing across the world. And perfectly in line with that, you see the inability for good people to stand up against the evil. All of this is deeply intertwined. It's a spiritual war. It's a chemical war. And we'll keep waging it on the other side of this quick commercial break. Stay with us.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feel really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultimately blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So start going, take a half dropper or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long-distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing, a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. That's why I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. My guest is the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him on X now at Rex Jones News with a Z. News with a Z on the end. Rex Jones News. You're having a lot of fun on X.
Having a good time.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of the things that we've covered on this show a lot and for years. And it's, well, obviously just goes into the rest of everything Alex has always said about poisons in our food and water, the way that our hormones are being manipulated. And it is the effect of testosterone on men and how higher testosterone, people have this idea that it would make you more aggressive. It might make you like meaner or like less patient.
Makes you bald and based, folks. It makes you real bald and real based.
It makes you bold and based. It does not make people more aggressive. It actually makes people more fair. And it doesn't make people ignore what other people think. It makes them just... I guess it does kind of make them ignore, but not in a bad way. It just allows you to ignore peer pressure. There are these amazing effects of testosterone. And again, we've talked about this forever. I did a long report one time talking about how mercury, actually this goes hand in hand with mercury. Mercury lowers testosterone. So RFK Jr. just took mercury out of the vaccine.
I'm removing it.
He removed it. He removed mercury from the vaccine. So mercury lowers your testosterone. And so by lowering your testosterone, it almost cuts you off. It's like you're an antenna that's tuned to the world around you, and lowering your testosterone brings the static in. You're sort of not quite tuned in. You're not quite on the exact number on the radio dial, and you're a little bit fuzzier in your perception.
Well, let me make some points here. Yeah. So when we look at testosterone, people go, oh, that's a hormonal thing, like erections, muscle, like motivation, whatnot. That's what people think about when they think of test, just being honest. When in reality, testosterone is a neurotransmitter, and its job in the body is to make effort feel good. So this is why someone with a high testosterone level is more likely to like go off on an extreme adventure or a new business venture or something exciting or daring or risky. It really is something that allows men specifically to overcome the fear of the risk to get to the reward.
No
way. And when you look at that, that's a good society, isn't it?
I had no idea. That's
exactly
amazing.
How it works. So when you look at test and you look at the lowering test levels across the West, it's mainly due to, in my view, the obesity crisis.
Right.
Now, if you have more fat tissue, you have more aromatase enzyme, and that's the thing that converts testosterone into estrogen. So the fatter you are, the less testosterone you will have, the lower your free testosterone will be, and the higher your estrogen will be.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And on top of the estrogen mimickers and the plastics and the food and water, I mean,
exactly.
There's no accidental, like, industrial, we raised your testosterone. Like, for some reason, that never happens. There's never something that accidentally raises testosterone, which is, I wonder why that is.
It's everything that we talk about in regards to the supplements. It's the high inflammatory environment. It's the being fat and out of shape. It's the being unmotivated itself. They've done studies, and I'll try to show one. We'll pull it up next show or something, where, you know what the best thing you can do to raise your testosterone is? The number one thing you can do? Go to prison.
Really?
If you go to prison, your nuts just turn on, man. Because you're in like, I'm in a cage and there's a bunch of other dudes and I got to be strong. I got to fight. Yeah. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you go to prison, like it's like a 30% increase. It's like something crazy.
That's fascinating.
That's a big reason why all those guys are jacked too. Like they're in
that makes sense.
Yeah, they get to sleep all the time. They're in a high stress environment and they have to be tough.
Right.
And your body, literally, that's the beautiful thing about the human body. That's why we're created by God. Your body will literally listen to your environment and it will respond in hand.
Right.
So you look at what we're dealing with now with the soy boy and, you know, like the just effeminate American culture. And you can say that's going away and we're returning to traditionalism, whatever. I go to Walmart. I go to Target.
Right.
I see the people. It is pretty bad. So
not winning a war anytime soon.
We're not sending our best, as Trump would say.
Yeah.
But when you look at all these things, all the things they're doing to us, it's really just controlled, slow poisoning, boiling the frog in the pot of boiling water over time. And like that's why it's important to consider supplementary things that you can do to help raise your testosterone. Also, just eating a high protein diet, consuming a lot of zinc, getting sun. These are very basic things that a lot of people don't even know how to do.
Right.
Like every morning I wake up at like 5 a.m., whatever. I don't need an alarm clock. I just wake up. And then I go outside at like 6:30 and I get the beautiful morning sun in my eyes for like 10 minutes. And I do the same thing every night. So you get those strange hued colors, those purples, those violets, those yellows. Science has shown that that's actually what locks in your circadian rhythm. So there are all these like little basic tips and tricks to do, like squatting and deadlifting massively raises your testosterone because it's an incredibly hard action. It puts stress on the entire body. But people don't know about these things.
Yeah.
People know about Lizzo and Love Island. So it is what it is, right?
No, That's fascinating. It is always fascinating to me the way the human body changes to meet its new condition. In fact, it's funny, when I was having I wasn't really having beef with Nick Fuentes when we were arguing about the woman meme. The wife jack meme. And it was funny because he posted something going, you know, when men get married, their testosterone lowers. And, you know, he was pointing out like, okay, that means that married people are bitches, basically. I was like, that's beautiful. That means that the human body is literally designed for marriage.
It's so you don't kill your kid.
It's so you don't kill your kid or cheat on your wife and abandon your kid, right? So it's like, that's what you want. You want, men to be testosterone ridden until they, you know, lock down a, you know, pair bond with a mate, and then you don't need that testosterone.
It's all normal. It's all beautiful. It's already been figured out. We are the ones, and, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, like going to church and whatnot, like our own plans, our own machinations. We are the people that screw things up. If we just follow God's plan, it's all good. But it's easy to say, hard to do. I get it wrong. So, like, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but what I am saying is we all need to be better.
Yeah. Right. And like you said, we figured it out. It's actually like things, we actually know how to do things the best possible way. It's all these new ideas that are actually just old ideas. They're actually, it's actually just a devolution back to like a pre-civilized
the meme
status.
The meme I think about, it's like, damn, why do I feel so good all the time? And it's like someone drinking water, someone running, someone eating good food. Yeah. And it really isn't that hard, except for the fact that the poison is all around you, like at the gas station, like the Gatorade, the Red 40, I must have it. Oh, right. That comes to me. That evil spirit comes to me. And goes, hey, you know, like those Sun Chips, you eat the whole big bag, huh? Pretty good.
Right.
It's like, no, it's got glyphosate and it'll hurt my stomach and make me cry.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But I don't listen to that voice sometimes, you know?
You know,
the goal should be not listen to that voice all the time.
Well, and of course, the meme you're referencing is an inversion of the meme, why do I feel so bad all the time?
Yes.
And it's like you're staying up late, watching pornography, you're eating junk food, you know, charged up on energy drinks. Oh, why do I feel so bad?
Exactly.
I think it's obvious. So this is the study that, you know, went viral again. But again, we study this over and over. We've, you know, talked about this over and over for as long as I've been at InfoWars. For 7 years, we've been talking about this, and even more so before I got here. Testosterone eliminates strategic pro-social behavior through impacting choice consistency in healthy males. What does that mean? It basically means that extragenous testosterone fully eliminated strategic, i.e. feigned pro-sociability, and thus decreased submission to audience expectations.
So that's very key. So the study they're doing here, they're administering testosterone to people. Exogenous means they suck them in with the needle or with the gel or whatever. So this is like an acute drug response. Like, what does this hormone do in the study? They're not taking like a gradation of people with higher levels and going, okay, so they act a little differently. They're saying, okay, we're going to compare people that aren't on test to people that are on test. And the reality is, if you look at testosterone levels way back when, like in the 70s and whatnot, we should all be on test, basically.
Right. Yeah,
all
pretty much.
Be on steroids because people naturally were on steroids. And like the endocrine disruptors, the plastic, the everything, it's just, it is a horror show.
Yeah.
Can what's going to happen first? Israel stops killing innocent civilians or the birth rate drops to zero? Like what happens first? Maybe they like coincide. Maybe when the last human is born, Israel launches the last bomb. Maybe that's how it works.
It would be very serendipitous if that was the case. But what it's saying is that you don't succumb to peer pressure. You don't. And it's not saying that you aren't legitimately swayed by things. It's saying you don't pretend. You don't act like
you don't feel need to conform to the group. What's the language at the bottom of the study? If we can scroll down really quick. I'm looking at the TV.
Well, it goes on. It says it counteracts conformity and deceptive reputation strategies. So, again, basically it just makes you more honest. It's basically what it's saying, in that even if that honesty is going to cause you trouble socially, you're still going to tell the truth. Even if it's inconvenient, that's if you have a high testosterone, basically.
You become Big Pimp, and everyone knows Big Pimp is chill, basically. Big Pimp is chill.
You're darn tootin'. Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because it's like chemical wars. Like, we're fighting hormone wars. Like,
it's a good name for a show.
Chemical war. It's the information war, but also that is coincides the chemical wars. Like, you can have the information, but you don't, if you literally don't have the chemical balance to be able to handle it, like, you know, I talk about all the time. This, you can see the same thing happen, and in one case you're just like, oh look, a sad little girl, you know,
right.
Who cares? But in the other case, you see the exact same image and you start to well up with tears, and that's entirely because of the hormone filter interpreting the world around you. It's not that the world has changed, it's that your interpretation has changed. And if they can actually get in, and almost to the extent of like having a node in your head where they can inject dopamine to make you feel good, that's all that they're doing. They just do it through the screen
through
likes.
We're pressed on time. We have to take calls. Right. But very, very quickly, let's talk about this because it's a very important point. Women on birth control. So women on birth control will select for men that are like, nyeh, 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 nyeh,
nyeh, yeah, it's true.
But then when they're off birth control, they want like, ugh. Like it's, you look at these modern
chemical
relationships
war.
In these modern marriages, that's why the divorce rate is so high. That's why things are so screwed up, is because these women are taking hormonal drugs, which make them want different partners.
Yep.
And if that's going on and we know about it, imagine what they know is going on about us.
And it's, it's pheromones, right? They've done it where, you know, women on birth control like the smell of the sweat of men who are high testosterone or in women on birth control.
Inverse, like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, the point is people on birth control like the sissy soy boys, and the women off birth control prefer real men. It's very fascinating. And of course, we actually, this is what the entire InfoWars like paradigm is all about, is like, not only do you need the information, not only do we need to be telling the truth and you know, understanding the spiritual significance, but the physical significance, the poison in the food and water, the way that you're being weakened, so you're more manipulatable and malleable and less, you know, able to stand on your own. It's all intertwined. So we try to fight this battle on all of these fronts at once. And of course, that's how we give you incredible complex.
That's how we support ourselves here, right? Is we sell the products that you need and that we need too in order to fund the operation. And that's why I formulated these two new products, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But specifically for the conversation we're having here about men's testosterone and just kind of endurance, mentality, strength support, that is what Power Plant is for. This is a zinc boron complex, mostly. It's also got powerful adaptogens in there like Rhodiola rosea, also known as golden root, and then cordyceps mushroom for oxygen carrying capacity. Basically, it's an exercise supercharger, and it's also a male mineral blend. But the zinc and the boron specifically, the zinc will work to increase overall testosterone, and the boron comes in to increase overall free testosterone. And when you look at that, there's this thing in your body called sex hormone binding globulin, right? And that's what binds onto sex hormones like testosterone and estrogen, and it renders them inert, right? So you'll have your total test level, and then you'll have your free test level. What's important about Power Plant is that it increases that free test level, that actual metric that'll influence how you feel, how your brain works, how your body is functioning. So a lot of these other formulas, they're very strong, and they contain kind of like selective estrogen modulating type of herbs, like Tonkat is very popular, and Tonkat's very cool, right? But something like this, this will directly increase free testosterone, which is something that those other herbs don't do.
And adaptogens are basically the way that your body deals with stress, right? So as you're talking about, testosterone helps you deal with stress, adaptogens.
An adaptogen is usually a phytochemical or a plant compound that has different actions in the body based on your state. Okay. So if you've got like an inflammation problem, it addresses that. But if you've got another problem, it addresses that there. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And it makes sense why it's called the adaptogens, because it adapts to whatever your body's going through. So Power Plant is the advanced adaptogen complex from thealexjonesstore.com, designed for real performance and, of course, formulated by Rex Jones.
That's right.
And very powerful stuff. And in fact, like I always say, we're supposed to have a bottle of Power Plant behind this desk for when we do plugs. Somebody's stolen it. So instead,
might have been me. You never know.
It may have been me. Instead, CJ had to run in here with his personal bottle of Power Plant that he takes.
And don't forget about the Methyl Drive. The Methyl Drive is by far, bar none, the best overall longevity and health supplement money can buy. It's got perfect CoQ10 and PQQ ratio. CoQ10 is something that also helps you in a way like methylene blue does, but more natural. It's present in everyone. It's an organic chemical. It helps with electron transfer, and the PQQ enhances the biogenesis creation of new mitochondria. We've also got magnesium in there. It's really everything you need, and bioactive vitamin B12. So you take that in concert with Power Plant. I mean, I made it for myself, so I don't have to buy it anymore.
That's awesome.
I don't have to buy six bottles anymore. I just grabbed two.
And you can get both of these together with the Power Drive combo.
That's
and
right.
Of course, you can get up to 50% off. Well, you can get 50% off the Power Drive combo, 50% off Power Plant itself when you visit the Alex Jones store if you're a VIP member as part of the buy one. Or no, that's just 50% off.
It's an incredible deal.
Right out of the gate.
You gotta get it now.
I was thinking this was the buy one, get one sale.
That's not gonna last.
But this is an additional sale on top of that. So thealexjonesstore.com, go there today, buy the Power Drive combo, Power Plant, or Methyl Drive, or both, and get massive discounts, especially if you're a VIP member. We got this video from, so apparently Charlie Kirk is talking about testosterone. And
he should be talking about like veneers, you know. He should be talking about veneers and dental stuff. He should be selling toothpaste. I got a guy for that, Charlie. Hit me up.
See, this is my thing. It's always the crew too. I'm always like, Tim Pool, who we like, and they're like, screw Tim Pool. They're always like wanting me to be enemies with it. I like all these people.
Okay.
I don't really mind.
Okay.
They're all just
we're
enemies.
I like to have
them.
Fun. And be
we're
friends.
Enemies, sure. We're enemies, but we have more and more dangerous enemies than
this is true.
I'm trying to be a peacemaker here. I just want to win. I think it's hilarious, though. Let's go to clip number 17. It's a short one, but it's not Charlie Kirk that we're going to talk about here. It's the CNN's reaction to this. So here's CNN reviewing a Charlie Kirk video. Let's go to clip 17 now.
I do think that there is a direct correlation between someone's testosterone and their politics. I would love to have a study done on this. On young men, the lower their testosterone, the more likely they are to be Democratic. Democrats are not going to be able to win over high testosterone men because they're too self-directed. So differently, the lower your testosterone is, the more likely you are going to be subservient and compliant. So our true. Republic needs alpha men.
So, in Charlie Kirk's world, high T means manliness, rebellion, and maybe a MAGA hat. Low T, and you're apparently lining up for your ninth booster and asking the government to tuck you in.
I think me and Shoddy would get along, you know?
She's a pretty girl.
Yeah, I think we'd get along, you know?
You can teach her about testosterone.
But the thing is, like, we already had this study done, right? It was the Try Guys with that BuzzFeed
That's
channel.
That's right.
And they did the test, and they're all, like, 200, which is, like, geriatric, and the Asian dude is the only guy who's normal.
Right.
It's wild. It's crazy. It's truly insane.
There's a direct correlation to the amount of your testosterone. And to me, it's just funny that you've got all these CNN people laughing, going, so I guess soy boys vote left. It's like, yes, this is imminently observable all around you. What are you talking? Why are you laughing? This is just Charlie Kirk is saying the obvious.
Absolutely.
And they can't handle it. It's just ridiculous. All right, let's go out to your calls. Thank you so much for holding, everybody. Let's go to Godzilla in Wisconsin.
Godzilla.
Wants to talk about Israel stuff. I'm sorry. We've had so much fun talking, Rex and I. We don't have too much time for calls, so please keep the comments short. Godzilla, you're on the air with myself and Rex Jones.
Hey, shalom. Good morning, guys. Yeah, I was wondering what you guys think. There was a report that I was reading over the weekend that Israelis get free health care in the U.S.
Really?
And I can't Google any of this stuff, that they can fly here from Israel and they can get, like, lung and heart transplants same day from American people and stuff, and we pay for everything, their flight, their stay, and everything.
I did see a story on that.
I try to Google that, and, like, my brain tells me to go buy McDonald's suddenly, and I have to, like, leave my house and buy McDonald's.
That's funny.
From some cell phone tower far away. So I was wondering if you guys can send one of your crack reporters or, like, see if that's true. There's so much disinformation now. And then also, I was wondering about the you guys never mentioned the Stonehenge in America on the bottom of Lake Michigan. I think it's a good example about how the government just lies to us. And we just eat their poop all day. And everyone just is, like, blind to it. But, like, there's a Stonehenge in the bottom of Lake Michigan.
That's a
bit
weird.
They said it's 9,000 years old. And Lake Michigan was dry over 12,000 years ago. So the excuse they feed us is that it was built underwater.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, it was, you know, the ancient
Native American art of scuba.
Exactly. Wow. You know what? I hadn't even seen it. Man, it's like all I do all day is watch news, and I just miss these major things. I hadn't even
heard
of this.
There's one every hour.
Seriously. Yeah. Well, because look at that. I mean, that image. I mean, that sometimes you see things where it's like, is this an underwater structure? And it's just like kind of like a rock on a right angle. And it's like, well, maybe. But those are standing stones.
Yeah, we don't know nothing about what's happened thousands and thousands
of
years ago. We don't know anything.
That's wild. I want to know about that. What was the other thing you asked about? Just before then, you asked...
it was about the
Israelis getting free health care.
Yeah, the Israeli getting free health care.
That's one of those things. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the details of it. I'll have to look into that. Before I answer that question, I think you're in the same boat I am, Rex.
Where, like, we're getting it.
Well, no, I've heard there's something where
I'm definitely going to deep dive on that and talk about that next show with Harrison. 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw something on that. I know you're not pulling that out of thin air, Godzilla. I saw the same story as you, but then the McDonald's programming.
Yeah, and we all went and got a
Big Mac,
super sized Big Mac meal. No, but yeah, I just don't remember exactly what it is. Israelis get health free care in the United States. Yeah, there was a TikTok video that went viral about this. And they were saying it's not exactly how it works, but it kind of is. It's basically that, like, the Israeli government pays for their treatment in America, but then America funds the Israeli government. So it's like at the end of the day, it does actually come from our coffers. But we'll have to do a deep dive before I comment too much on that.
Indeed.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
It's, you know, well, it wouldn't be.
It sounds
be
bad enough
time.
To be believable. I'll tell you that right now.
It sounds bad enough to be believable. That's exactly right. Let's go to Jim in Rhode Island now. Jim in Rhode Island. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for having me on there, Harrison.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to get back to the Israeli issue. I mean, our Congress, they're so supplicant. I mean, they're barking seals for any time. Yeah, they're barking seals for any time Zelensky or Netanyahu shows up in Congress to speak. You know, they're just there clapping, going, or.
I believe the Republicans and the Democrats gave 50 standing ovations during his 55-minute speech.
Yes, it's something crazy like that. If you want to see the proof of like who really rules us, you just watch Netanyahu visit Congress. And it is like you say, caller, Jim, apologies. They bark and clap like trained seals. It's what they do. It's like they're circus animals.
And the strange thing is that the president of a foreign country commands more loyalty than our president in Congress.
Yeah, exactly.
Is more able to get things passed, is more able to, you know, get bills, get support from both sides of the aisle than our own president. Benjamin Netanyahu, 90% of Congress will vote for whatever he wants. It's sick, man.
Top 10 evil people on the planet. We don't know a lot of them, but Netanyahu's on the list for sure.
I would say so.
Anyone that takes money from AIPAC should be voted out of office.
I agree. Yeah. I think AIPAC needs to be sort of the bullseye at the center of our target at this point. Because, again, it's not even about...
They control like 420 seats, I think, something like that, 422.
And they just pour millions of dollars. I mean, they're trying to take out Massey now. They have this Kentucky MAGA pack, but it's clearly just AIPAC rebranded. And, why are they allowed to do that? Why can we not just get them to register under FARA? All of that subversive activity would have to cease. And then maybe we could have people supporting us rather than their foreign donors in Congress.
People forget LBJ was our first Jewish president. And when did they get nuclear weapons? Right around that time. Very interesting.
And how did he get into office? Very convenient.
Hey, Harrison, how can I contact you?
On X, at Harrison H. Smith.
I add him all the time.
you can add me or you can DM me. I was supposed to check my DMs yesterday. Maybe I'll get to it today. I have to build up the mental.
It's hard.
The mental will to actually look at my private messages.
People got moon landing plans.
Yeah. I get all sorts of stuff. That's about going to do it for us. Again, you can follow Rex on X as well at Rex Jones News a Z at the end of news.
Please give me a follow. I love you so much, whoever you are. Please just give me a follow.
Just give me a damn follow already, won't you? Yeah. You have a check mark, right? So
it's official. It's important. That's right.
So it's easy to find who Rex Jones actually is. And of course, the incredible supplements that are out at thealexjonesstore.com is how we stay on air. And you can hear from Rex. The man's got a real passion and knowledge for it, which is why we're able to offer you the best of the best. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Rex, thank you so much for being here with us.
I'll see you next week, man. We're going to do it again.
Maybe we should call this segment Chemical Wars. Every
that goes hard. Right? Chemical Wars.
Chemical Wars. It's chemical warfare where your mind is the battlefield. Thanks so much for being here with us. The Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds. Go today to TheAlexJonesStore.com to support us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Stay tuned. Alex Jones, 90 seconds.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Boost Your Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check if there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid.
Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish sea moss, get the Shilajit, get the pills, the gummies, it's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid, great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com, and the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.